Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, we connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read about in God's Word. It is so important that you stay connected to what's happening in the Middle East, to what's happening in the land of Israel, so that you can pray and so that you can know what's happening in that region of the world. And today, I happen to be in Atlanta, Georgia, in the offices of the Ministry of Tourism. In fact, it is the Southern Region Ministry of Tourism. And I have got a very special friend with us here on the Middle East Report, Lauren Morgery. He is the Consul Director of the U.S. Southern Region of the Ministry of Tourism. And Lauren, it is just such a delight to be here in Atlanta, Georgia, in your office.
Thank you, John. And it's a pleasure to have you.
Well, we are going to find out about what you guys do with the Ministry of Tourism here in the United States. But first, you have an incredible story. You are Jewish, Israeli. Tell us how you came to Israel, a little bit about your family and a little bit about your background. It's a fascinating story.
Yes, absolutely. So I was born and raised in France. And my first encounter with Israel was at age 14 when I took a trip to Israel. And I had a shock. I discovered the Western Wall, and I was literally overwhelmed by emotion. Since then, I had an idea, crazy idea, to go back to Zion. And when I married with Anna, my wife, in France, in Marseille, we decided to move the two of us. And I learned Hebrew, and I decided to be an Israeli, basically.
I know that was a long time ago, because you're older than 14 years old. Can you just take us back to when you first came to Israel? And I was reading a little bit about, your experience there. You came to Israel, you went to the Western Wall, the remnants of the temple, and you touched the wall. Tell us about, what you were going through emotionally back then.
Yes, that's hard to explain. I had no idea what to expect whatsoever. 14 years old kid from France. You don't really know much about that. But then I experienced the holy impression of touching this wall that means so much for me and for my people. And I felt that I was just more than just one person. I was part of a whole people and 3,000 years, temple. And it meant so much for me that I was literally moved by this experience. The idea of doing what we call Aliyah, immigration to Israel, started at that very point, at that very moment.
Lauren, the experience that you just described, so many of our listeners have also experienced that because they have been to Israel. But there are so many people who have not traveled to Israel, and they've not experienced the joy of being in the land of Israel, to touching the stones, seeing the places that they've read in God's Word. And, that's what the Ministry of Tourism is all about, encouraging people to be there. Tell us what you guys do here at the Ministry of Tourism.
So, that's very true. We see ourselves as a bridge between Israel and the U.S. And we want as many people as possible to feel this amazing experience, to go to the, Jordan River, to touch the stones of the Western Wall, to see Jerusalem. That's an incredible experience. And that's exactly our, I would say, our mission, is to be a bridge and to facilitate that, to promote Israel, to speak with the religious leaders, to speak with our partners, and for as many people as possible to feel this this experience.
Well, you're doing that in a lot of different ways as you're getting the word out to people across this country, and especially evangelicals, people who love the Jewish people and love the land of Israel. I've been to Israel so many times, and I've been to so many places there in the land of Israel. Lauren, it is a beautiful country. You go there, you've got the Mediterranean, you've got all the biblical sites, you've got the beautiful Israeli people that are there, and talk about the beauty of the land of Israel, because, I think we could spend the next 2 or 3 hours just, talking about what a beautiful country it is and all the places that you could see there in the land of Israel.
First of all, I want to say that we are thankful to have such great friends as the evangelical community. It's something that we realize, and especially during those times that are very difficult for the country and for the Israeli people. And we know there are some missions right now in Israel from our friends, from the evangelical community, and they receive so much love from the Israeli people who come and literally hug them and say thank you for being there. And I want to take this opportunity to thank your audience, that's first. And I could also speak about our beautiful country, the food, the people, all of these, all of the what the country has to offer. You just need to be there to realize and to understand and to get the most of the experience. But yes, the connection between the people from here and the Israeli people is really something that you cannot describe.
You can't describe it. In all the times that I've been to Israel, I still come back to the land with awe, knowing that the things that I read about in God's Word, I can experience firsthand there in the land of Israel. I mean, there are so many places that I've seen there in Israel. I think of Caesarea along the Mediterranean coast, which has so much significance, not only for Christians, but for Jewish people. I mean, it is just the history in that one place alone is absolutely incredible. And, you know, those of you who are listening here to the Middle East Report, you're going to find that when you travel to Israel. Which brings us to this point. Right now, Lauren, it is difficult to travel to Israel. Obviously, there is a war going on, and you know, you mentioned that you feel the love from so many people during this difficult time. How does that make you feel as an Israeli?
It's hard to describe because I travel a lot from my position. We cover the whole of the southern U.S., whether it's Texas, Florida, and all that's in between. Just yesterday, I was in the Florida Baptist Convention. So many pastors came and hugged and support. And I can definitely feel that connection and that love from the people I meet everywhere we go. And that's really something that means a lot for us. I'm Israeli, my family is in Israel. So to feel so much love and compassion from our friends here is really something that means a lot to me.
Well, you definitely have experienced that as you've traveled all over the country. And can you think of, and I'm putting you on the spot here by asking you this question, but can you think of anything that stands out in some of the conversations that you've had with all of these people that you've spoken to all over the country that just like, wow, that was just such a awesome conversation, you know, from this person who just loves Israel, loves the Jewish people?
There's a lot, so many different stories that I hear. Just this week, we were in Orlando, and this woman from Panama is going every year in Israel, and she had so much love. She kissed me, literally, because she prays every day, and she has a Star of David on her neck, and I could definitely feel the love, and I was, you know, I felt like I knew her for years, but it's just one of the stories, and you know, it's something. It's hard to understand, but yes, we hear many stories. There's a lot of hate out there, but there's also so much love, and we can feel that. I want to say to everyone, we can feel that, and that's something I want to be very clear. We can feel your love, and we do feel your love.
Yeah, there is a lot going on here with Jew hatred here in this country and around the world, and yet, in the midst of all of that, I'm so glad you pointed this out, that there are people here in this country, evangelicals especially, that love the Jewish people, love the land of Israel, and have stood with the Jewish people during these very, very intense and difficult times that you all have experienced since October 7th, 2023, the horrific massacre and now the wars that are ongoing in Israel. I know it's been so, so difficult, but the love that you're experiencing, that's really encouraging.
Yes. I mean, the trauma that Israel experienced on October the 7th and since then is something, it's hard to describe. Some people said, I cannot breathe. That's exactly what we felt. We couldn't breathe. And the love that we received and we still receive, the solidarity, it means so much more than just, you know, going to Israel as a tourism destination. It means embracing the Jewish people as a whole and coming and say a very powerful statement, I'm here with you. And even if people do not come, we can feel the support. We can definitely feel the love. You know, just a month ago for the holiday of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish holiday of Sukkot, 500 people came through the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem, and from all over the world, several countries, and they came to Jerusalem to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to show their support to the Jewish people. And that's amazing.
That is amazing, because there is such a connection. We have a connection to the Jewish people, to the land of Israel. The Bible is Jewish. Both the Hebrew scriptures, I don't even like the term Old Testament, but the Hebrew scriptures, which people would say is the Old Testament or the New Testament, we have a huge connection with the Jewish people. It's a Jewish book. I often tell people it's a Jewish book. Jesus was Jewish. So the connection for people who are listening is absolutely huge. And, you know, when I was in Israel in March, I experienced from the Israeli people, through the reverse of what you experienced from Americans towards you as an Israeli, they were like, John, we are so glad you are here during this time of war.
Yes, and I think that's something that needs to, we don't necessarily see that online, or the warmth of the Israeli people for those who came, and they literally hugged the tourists, and I have heard so many stories like that. And yes, you're saying Jesus was Jewish, and there's so much to tell about the places he preached, and you know the very sites he went, and you can go there and visit and actually be in the same footsteps as Jesus, which is, you know, incredible.
We're talking to Lauren Mosiery. He is the council director of the U.S. Southern Region of the Ministry of Tourism, and we are broadcasting from the office here in Atlanta, Georgia. What's so amazing, Lauren, is that we see, it seems like every day, new discoveries in the land of Israel, archaeological discoveries, so many things that have been unveiled. What you're going to discover is these beautiful places that Lauren, you know, is talking about. They're so well taken care of. You know, you as a country of Israel take care of all of these places so beautifully. I've been to probably, I don't know, 80% of the national parks, which is where some of these archaeological places are that we're talking about biblically. And there is nothing like the National Park Service in Israel. It is clean. It is pristine. It is taken care of so well. You all do an amazing job.
Yes, the Israel Nature and Parks Authority is doing an amazing job. You have so many sites, whether it's Susita, you have Kfar Nahum, you have Caesarea, and you can just go there and with or without a guide and see really history in front of you, and the Bible comes to life in front of you, and that's something that is really, I think it's unique in the world, but definitely.
Obviously, it's difficult to travel to Israel. Tourism is open to Israel. If the Lord leads you to go to Israel, you can do that. There are ways to get to Israel. Not everybody has that comfort zone to do that, but it is open. And so if the Lord leads you to do that, I know there's been a lot of solidarity trips that have gone to Israel from people who love the Jewish people and love the land of Israel. So they've gone to Israel. So if the Lord's leading you to do that, you can absolutely do that. But it is difficult right now because there is an ongoing war. What's your heart for the future to get things back on track, so to speak, when it comes to tourism? What are you thinking right now, Lauren?
So it is difficult. It is a challenge. First of all, the U.S. airlines have suspended their flights, direct flights to Israel. The Israeli airline is still flying from several locations from the U.S. directly to Tel Aviv. Some airlines are talking about resuming their flights in March, and some later on. So my hope is really to have those companies taking a strong and statement and deciding to resume their flights to Israel. And we are talking to them. We are in constant touch with them. We know there's a lot of consideration that they need to take when deciding that. That would be the first step. And then we are talking to a lot of religious leaders. A lot of them want to plan their trip. They're still, you know, looking at what's going on in Israel. So we hope, of course, that the situation in Israel will be calm and peaceful, and that the hostages will be back in Israel, because that's something very important for us. But and then when that will happen, you know, tourism will come back. We know that for sure. I have no doubt there will be a strong tourism back to Israel soon.
Well, I just want to talk to people who are pastors or in, you know, places of leadership with Christian organizations who are listening right now. You need to start right now planning for a trip to Israel. You really do. I know, as you said, Lauren, it's a little bit on the difficult side. Israel is open for tourism. You can go, but we know that not everybody feels comfortable. But there will be a time when you will be able to do that. So those of you who are listening today, I want to just encourage you. You know, the Ministry of Tourism has a lot of great resources, a lot of things that you can find out about, connect with if you're looking for guides and, you know, all the stuff that you need to go to Israel. They're going to help you with that. And so I want to encourage you, you know, one good starting point would be go to this website, holyland.israel.travel. That's holyland.israel.travel. You can go to that website and you can find out more about how you can, you know, connect with the Ministry of Tourism and make some plans to go back. You can get a group. How important is that for people to, you know, to come to Israel? How important is that for your country, for people here in the United States to come to your country?
That's very important. You know, when someone comes to Israel, they come back in their own country as a different person. And I mean, whether it's you're a believer or not, it's such a strong experience. Again, when you touch the walls of the Western Wall, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not, and which religion, you feel something. When you see Jerusalem, when you see this historical, and you don't come back as the same person. And also for the, you know, Judean-Christian civilization, Israel is a major, major place. So that's very important. If people want to reach me directly, they can just Google my first name, Lorin, L-O-R-I-N, Israel and tourism, those three words, and they will find me on Google, and they just can reach me directly. I'll be happy to help anyone.
Well, I want to give you, in the final moments that we have of the show, and to just talk to those who are listening, who love you as a Jewish person, who love the land of Israel, who are hurting right now for your country because of what you're going through with the wars, what happened on October 7th. I want to just give you an opportunity to talk to those people and just share from your heart, you know, whatever you want to say to those people who love the land of Israel. What's your message?
I would say that we would love to help you realize a dream, to get the experience, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus in Israel, and to be able to have such a strong experience to see in reality what is written in the Bible. You don't read the Bible the same way after you went to Israel. Your faith is changed. And if your faith is changed, it impacts on positively on, you know, your family, your job, your society, because you see the Bible in a whole new, different way. So I want to be able to help you through that. And any way I can, first of all, I want to thank you, John. It's a really important message. And any way I can, I would love to help you.
Lauren, thank you for the great job that you guys do and your staff here in just keeping in front of people all across this country about how important it is for us to connect with the Jewish people, connect with the land of Israel, and to, you know, go and see this beautiful place called Israel. I want you to know that we've got people all across the country who are listening to this broadcast, and they are hurting with you and everything that's going on in your country, and they're praying for you. I talk to people all the time who say, John, you know, I hear Middle East Report, and I just want you to know that we're praying for the Jewish people. We're praying for the land of Israel. We know that Israel will see the victory, that this will come to conclusion, that they will be decisive in the end of this, and Israel will win because God's word says that. And you know what? We believe what the word of God says, so it's going to happen. We don't know when. We hope very, very soon, but it's going to happen, Lauren, and we know that.
Amen. Thank you so much, John. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for joining us here on the Middle East Report. We sure appreciate that. Lauren is the Council Director for the U.S. Southern Region, the Ministry of Tourism. And again, I hope you'll reach out to him. You've got that contact that he just shared with you on Google. You can do that. You can Google his name, or you can go to holyland.israel.travel, holyland.israel.travel. You can go there and you get a lot of great information about the Ministry of Tourism, what they're doing, and how you can connect. Please remember to pray for Israel and pray for everything that's going on there. And listen, make plans to go to Israel. Your life will never be the same when you do that. I know that firsthand. So many of you who are listening who've been to Israel know that firsthand. It was such a joy to be in Atlanta, Georgia, talking to Lauren and his staff there with the Ministry of Tourism. And I want to encourage you, consider planning a trip to Israel in the future. I know things are a little bit on the difficult side right now, but there will be a time when it is much calmer. And I guarantee you this, when that happens, tourism is going to just blast off there in Israel, and it's going to be very, very busy. And so now is the time to be thinking about a trip to Israel, begin your planning, and of course, the Ministry of Tourism can help you do that. So I just want to encourage you to pray about that. If you are a pastor or, you know, some other organization, some other Christian organization, and you're thinking about traveling to Israel, the Ministry of Tourism can help you with that. And of course, Tim Wildman with the American Family Association, American Family Radio, he does tours every single year to Israel. And you can contact Tim here as well, and you get more information. WildmanGroup.com. That's WildmanGroup.com if you want more information. We have some exciting news. The picks that President-elect Donald Trump is making to surround him in this new administration beginning in January are absolutely amazing. And we now understand that Mike Huckabee is going to be the U.S. ambassador to Israel. Mike is a former pastor. He is a former governor. He is somebody who loves Israel. He has brought thousands of people to Israel. He's been there like 100 times, way more times than I've been to Israel, for sure. He's just a great guy, and he is going to do a wonderful job for the United States as U.S. ambassador. Mike is being interviewed all over, and he was interviewed in Israel on the local media there. I wanted to share a portion of that in his response to being appointed as U.S. ambassador to Israel.
Well, I've been overwhelmed with positive responses both here in the U.S. as well as in Israel. It's been an interesting mix because I've had very positive responses from American Jews, from American evangelical Christians, and from people in Israel. I got a phone call from the prime minister, who I've known for 30 years, but he called me within an hour after the announcement was made. A phone call from my friend Ron Dermer, who I've known many years, and from the foreign minister. I mean, the only negative things that I've seen at all have been from people that you would have expected it, from the very far left, and typically in the media, who just thought that some of my previous positions and our statements, particularly regarding the two-state solution, which I don't believe is legit, that troubled some of the people on the far left. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a position I've held for many years. As you know, Yoni, as an ambassador, you don't get to do what you want. You carry out the wishes and the directions of the president. He's the one who puts one of us here, and it will be his policies, not mine, that we will implement. But I'm very, very pleased that his policies have been the most pro-Israel policies of any president in my lifetime. I wasn't looking for a federal job. I wasn't even looking for this one. I didn't campaign or lobby for it. I didn't send a lot of people to try to muscle my way into it. I was as surprised as anybody when I got the call last Tuesday. And the president asked me to do it. And it was the one thing that I could say, like Isaiah, here am I, send me. There was never a doubt in my mind that if he asked me to do it, it's a way to serve my country and a way to serve my president. But it's also a way for me to be able to serve a relationship that to me is incredibly important. And that's the relationship between the United States and Israel. That's why there's a great level of not only excitement, but a deeply emotional reaction that I have had to this, because I see it as a calling, an opportunity to do something that I hope will be instrumental in helping to bring a greater level of security and certainty in policy for the people of Israel. We need to have a consistent relationship, and it needs to be a strong one. Both nations benefit when there is a strong alliance between the United States and Israel. And I think the United States can be a strong strategic partner in helping to further the mission of the Abraham Accords, which are very much the work of Donald Trump in his first term. Had he had a second term, there's no doubt in my mind that those would have continued and expanded. And I want to be a part of making sure that the Abraham Accords that he launched continue to grow, bring more people into those agreements, and create a more stable, more peaceful climate in the Middle East, but also a much better and more hopeful future for everyone.
Now, there are, of course, issues that the world likes to define as controversial. Of course, anything related to Judea and Samaria. Are you preparing yourself to be super careful on this topic? Or will you continue your support also in that issue?
You know, I can't be what I'm not. I can't say something I don't believe. So, as you well know, I've never been willing to use the term West Bank. There is no such thing. I speak of Judea and Samaria. I tell people there is no occupation. It is a land that is occupied by the people who have had a rightful deed to the place for 3,500 years since the time of Abraham. So a lot of the terms that maybe the media would use, or even people against Israel would use, are not terms that I employ, because I want to use terms that live from time immemorial. And those are the terms like Promised Land and Judea, Samaria. These are biblical terms. And those are important to me. And so I will continue to follow that nomenclature unless I'm instructed otherwise, but I don't think that'll happen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Middle East Report. I want to encourage you to download a podcast to the show. You can get a podcast wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms out there. Download it, follow me, and of course, you can always go to afr.net and get it there as well. Thanks for listening. I'm John Riley.